Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about sin as the archery term of missing the mark, or the Latin word sine, meaning without, and how it applies to John 5:14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Listen as we explore the three statements Jesus makes to the infirmed man at Bethesda before his actual healing and what he tells him after he is whole. In this show, we will focus on the Kriya Yoga concept of avidya as the equivalent to sin. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and accept wholeness. Swami, today's title of the show is What Sin No More Really Means. Can you give us more detail about the word sin means?
Yes, sin is missing the mark as an archery term. It also comes from the Latin sine, meaning without. So what are we missing when we sin, and what do we live without? We're living without divine truth and consciousness, without the self-existent power of the divine creative principle. So it's a very big deal. And most of us think sin is about behavior. It's keeping our living standard up to this certain level of performance. And it's so much more than what we think it is, and the way that we've been socialized to think this divine creative principle is some sort of cosmic puppeteer monitoring our behavior and our conduct, rewarding good behavior and punishing bad behavior, and how these false concepts have created such a problem for humanity today.
So we're talking about missing the mark. The mark is our understanding God is all, and that there is a divinity in all of us.
Right. And the most important thing about this is we must know God aright. Most of us, like I said, we think God created this world, which is a mix of good and evil. So we think God created good and evil. Now, these misconceptions and misunderstandings of what God is prevents us from utilizing God in the presence of spirit as a principle, as a law, something that is actually here to be demonstrated, not just believed in or talked about. This was a big part of the message of the Christ. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we're socialized to think heaven is something that we must die materially in order for us to be eligible for this entrance. And again, these are all false beliefs.
Well, how would you explain that phrase, kingdom of heaven, to get somebody to understand what we're talking about here in this model?
If we don't understand what Jesus meant when he was talking about heaven, he was talking about the divine creation. He was talking about the perfection of being. And again, sin is missing the mark. If we are not living with conscious awareness of this divine creation is what they're talking about, that you're living in sin. You're missing the mark. You're in the wrong self. You're in the wrong life stream. Or as we say in Kriya Yoga, avidya, mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. You're putting water in the gas tank and can't figure out why the car doesn't run. We don't know what it looks like when we have truth in consciousness, so we are accepting the collective verdict, which doesn't require understanding. In a similar way, cars are designed to run, and humans are designed to know. And to start to break this down and figure it out, that's what we wanted to talk about, was that healing that Jesus did at Bethesda.
Okay, Swami, so we know that the phrase sin no more appears in the Bible 3 times. And we know Jesus said it twice. And you did mention about the gentleman that he healed in Bethesda. Let's talk about what it is we're trying to get across with that phrase sin no more.
Yeah, again, coming back to it appears in Jeremiah 31:34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That was the first time it appeared in the Bible. Now, the next time is John 5:14, which is what we will unbox from the opening. And then Jesus also said it in John 8:11. And after Jesus asks her, where are your accusers? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. End of quote. I think a big thing that we want to understand here is when Jesus is telling the man at Bethesda, and he's also telling the woman that was accused of adultery to sin no more, he's not saying, don't eat meat on Friday, stop eating meat on Friday. He's not saying anything related to conduct. He's really saying, stop using your 5 material senses. Stop living out of the false sense of existence and hold true to your conscious awareness of the divine truth, which is a very different interpretation of what this word sin means.
Swami, I think we have a soundbite from Herb Fitch. Can we play that now for our listeners, and we can discuss how this all comes together?
Yeah, I'd really like to send out a little thank you to Bill Skiles of Mystical Principles for allowing us to do this. And it's kind of a nice treat for us to be able to showcase Herb Fitch, because he's really given us some great information. This is from Herb Fitch's Revelation of St. John series, Class 4A. It's about 56 minutes into that audio file. You can get this at mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
Looking through the finite physical eye, the finite physical ear, the finite physical sense of touch, we have become aware only of our finite level of perception, instead of becoming aware of the infinite Father's reality. But remove the 5 senses and let that Christ sense, the single eye, become your 5 senses, and you are aware of the infinity. And then you are not aware of mortality or of death or of birth or of defects or of any form of imperfection. All these negative things are only in the eyes of the finite beholder. And we are told that we can come out of the finite beholding into the infinite beholding through the Christ mind, which is the single eye. The great and beautiful revelation of man's great error is this. This is chapter 5, verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I want you to take those 2 words, 5 porches, and change them to 5 senses. Read it again. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 senses. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Where did these blind, impotent, halt, withered folk lay? In the five senses. They were waiting for someone to move the water out there. Isn't that what man does? He's blind within the five senses. He's lame within the five senses. He has problems within the five senses, and he's waiting for something out there to come and deliver him. The moving of the water out there. Did Jesus take this man into the water? No. He said, rise. He didn't mean get up. He meant rise above your five senses, and you'll find you're perfect as your Father, which is in heaven. The minute the veil of the senses is removed, you see that you can pick up your bed and walk. You never were sick in the first place. Separated from your reality, the Christ, by the veil of the senses, we walk in a sense of mortality, though we are now immortal beings. Mankind walks within the five porches. You build a porch to shield yourself from the sun, so you get shade. The five porches and the five senses are the same. They're identical. That's the meaning. That's the hidden meaning of the five porches. The five senses act like porches. They cover the light and leave us in the shade so that the eye does not see the fullness of what is there. The ear does not hear the fullness of what is there. The five senses do not know the fullness of what is there. And in that limited sense of things, we walk and call ourselves mortal beings. We do not have to wait for something out there to come and free us. We have to accept Christ within, who is already the established fact of being, which has overcome the five senses. And Christ within leads us out of the Egypt of these five senses. Now that's what the letter to Smyrna is telling us, that five senses have made us think we were physical mortal beings, but the angel of God in the midst of us is our true identity. And it is immortal now. It is spirit now. It is not divided from God. It is the individualization of God now. But we must read, hear, and keep. We must practice that knowledge of our identity in such a way that nothing in this world can tempt us to believe that we are less than the Father says we are. This is how we will overcome the five porches, the five senses.
Yeah, I really like this scenario in the Bible because it gives you the anatomy of a healing. And one of the things we've always understood is the origins of the word heal means to be whole. In the Bible, that's one of the terms that they're using. When Jesus comes upon the man who is at the sheep pool, the first thing that he asks him is, wilt thou be made whole? And then the man gives him his reasons why he isn't healed. And I'll read that right from the Bible. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. For while I am coming, another step down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now, I really like what Herb Fitch told us about that. When Jesus says rise, he's not saying get up at this point. He's telling him to rise out of the divided, fractured sense of self that he's accepting and rise into wholeness. Wilt thou be made whole? The idea of spiritual identity. Are you willing to accept that you are an eternal spiritual being, as opposed to accepting that I am a finite mortal being? If we don't have that willingness to be made whole, if we're not willing to give up this personal sense of self, then we stay in the cycle of death and rebirth. We continue to come back lifetime after lifetime until we're going to get it right. But if you're of that mindset and you want to be a whole, complete person, then this is instruction to do it. The way Mary Baker Eddy and Joel Goldsmith and Herb Fitch are explaining this, you have no choice other than to accept your immortality.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I have some thoughts about the rest of that verse that you are reciting for us, and I'm going to read it. It's verse 9. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. So my question to you is, did this man actually come out of his five senses to be able to take up his bed and walk?
Yeah, this is what we're learning, that the outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit become one when divine truth is the only consciousness. All healing is the revealing of the divine creation, which is held, controlled, and governed by the divine law of absolute goodness, perfection, or wholeness. It's right here and right now. Divine truth is running a perfect universe. Just as light dispels darkness, truth dispels error. Darkness isn't an opposing power to light, but the absence of light. And error isn't an opposing power to truth, but the absence of truth. So the revelation is immediate. Now, Jesus, who was the manifestation of the Christ, has the mind of Christ. Jesus has divine truth in consciousness. One of the things that he tells us in the Bible, and I, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. And so by the man being willing to be made whole, he's then given access to divine truth. And so when we are above corporeal sense, and our thought is no longer influenced by the mortal mind, then we have this divine mind. And by letting divine mind take over the scientific government of our awareness, then it externalizes as what appears to material sense as what they call a healing. An unhealthy body all of a sudden now appears well. And a lot of this we've been talking about, how we think is what we become. But the big change here is we're accustomed to thinking with our five material senses. That's what Herb was saying in the beginning of that soundbite. In our five sense thoughts, looking through the finite physical eye, the finite physical ear, the finite physical sense of touch, we have become aware only of our finite level of perception instead of becoming aware of the infinite Father's reality. But remove the five senses and let the Christ sense, the single eye, become your five senses, and you are aware of the infinity. And so how we think is what we become. Consciousness is experience, But most of us, we're just conscious of the material that's coming in through our corporeal senses, which is imperfect. And in duality, it's in half, it's not whole. And so once we do open our awareness to this sense of wholeness, then it externalizes as a completely different picture. You're no longer externalizing imperfection, but now you externalize perfection.
So now my question to you, Swami, is, so this man had this healing by the Christ. Now, is that something that stays with him forever?
Well, I think what happens here is what Jesus says to him when he sees him in the temple. Yeah, John 5:14, and I'll read it, where he says, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Now, if we fall from grace, that's when you go from Genesis 1, the divine creation, where everything is very good, and we succumb, we stop eating from the tree of life, and then we start eating again from the tree of knowledge and the tree of good and evil. We go back to duality, matter and mind. Now we go from being under the protection and the perfection of divine law back down to karmic law, back to a belief in two powers. And the ramifications become increased, because it's different when you are unknowing what it is to be whole, as opposed to when you make a conscious choice to choose duality over the unified state. I also think it's important to understand what we have been talking about. Divine love is what was called the wrath of God. God isn't punishing us for our behavior. The wrath of God is that God is not allowing us to accept anything less than the truth of our being. We are made in the image and likeness of the divine. We are the reflection of the divine, a reflection of an indestructible principle. Now, if we are accepting that I am a finite mortal being and we live in this lower world of sense, for whatever reasons we may have, I mean, some of us, all we know are the pain, pleasure, control dramas of the physical body. But for somebody who has the experience of exposure to the perfection of being, the bliss, the wonder, the awe of walking in the kingdom of heaven on earth, the thought of going back to earthly pleasures really must be slim to none. But if you do, then the ramifications are exponentially increased. But it's not punishment. It's just really divine love not letting you accept anything less than who you really are.
So we have some writings here from Helen Wright that might be applicable to our topic of conversation today.
Yeah, this is from a work that she did called Humanity's Divinity. And in her writing here, she does a lot of quoting from Mary Baker Eddy, so it might get a little complicated as I start to read it, but this is all from her writing, and I'll read that. The foundation of mortal discord is a false sense of man's origin, nothing more. Since God, the mind of man, never sins, and man has no mind but God. That's from Science and Health, page 470, 17, and page 319, 20. When the science of being is universally understood, every man will be his own physician, and truth will be the universal panacea. That's from Science and Health, page 144, 27. Are we man? Certainly not, Mary Baker Eddy said. We are spirit, soul, and not body. Mrs. Eddy tells us in the first edition of Science and Health, over and over, she makes it clear man is idea, only mind's idea. All that is good is spirit, infinite good. And the idea of infinite good is real, and nothing else is real. To really understand this is not easy. When what am I and what is man, we again ask in science of man. When the question was asked, are we man? Mrs. Eddy answered emphatically, certainly not. You are spirit, soul, principle. She had seen that the mental element is God. She could think. Only consciousness can think. An idea can't think. The reflection in the mirror can't think. All consciousness is mind, God, Mrs. Eddy declares. What have you ever known that did not require and involve at-one-ment, finding ourselves one with God, your thinking, and all that is ever needed to find heaven at hand is a change in thinking. When our thinking is right, our experience will be right. Our whole objective universe is a creation of our thinking, and it will be as good as our thinking is good. End of quote. Yeah, and everything that we focus on here now is about stopping thinking with our five material senses and starting knowing with our seven spiritual senses, which is what Jesus had recommended when he said, stop sinning, sin no more, stop thinking with those material senses.
So I really like that quote that you read. When the science of being is universally understood, every man will be his own physician. And that just goes back to what even you've been saying all along and what we just heard from Herb Fitch.
Yeah, and also what she had said, and truth will be the universal panacea. The idea that consciousness is experience and divine truth in consciousness heals the sick, reforms the sinner, raises the dead. When I think of the word hope, today more and more I see the folly of the Western scientific model we are collectively being indoctrinated with, and it puzzles me how Mary Baker Eddy's discovery has gone by the wayside, and not just by the general public, but from those who think they are faithful followers. Even Joel Goldsmith, during his life, made the statement, in 25 years, there'll be no sickness on the planet. He passed in 1964, and 1989 has long since gone, and sickness is the largest growing industry on Earth. I have to ask, what happened? Do we really believe God created an imperfect world and expects us to make it right? When will we collectively wake up to the impossibility of trying to figure how the unreal became real and rest in the truth, know the truth that makes us free, free from the false belief in mortal existence? Life is perfect, but what we are calling life isn't life at all. Stop thinking with the five material senses. Start knowing the truth. And sin no more.
Well, we're going to break down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, you see the Fading Banner Blog Talk Radio. Click it directs you to its catalog page. Clicking the products tab, online classes, directs you all the classes that Swami has available. Any final thoughts about today's show, Swami?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and accept wholeness. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.